Some of them went in and they're hugging and kissing the police and the guards. You know, they had great relationships.
As former President Donald Trump tries to rewrite the history we all watched with our very own eyes, the nation is getting a reality check with new revelations from the Department of Justice laying out how the far-right group, the Proud Boys, communicated and conspired with the militia group, the Oath Keepers, in the weeks leading up to the Capitol Hill riots. Joining me now are Glenn Kirshner, former federal prosecutor and legal analyst for MSNBC, and Malcolm Nance, MSNBC contributor and author of the book, The Plot to Betray America. Two people I couldn't be more happy to talk to about this. Before we get started, now that we know that the DOJ is looking at how they communicated and conspired, I want us to listen to Mr. Sherwin, who, you know, set off a bit of an earthquake with his interview on 60 Minutes a while back. Have a listen. We'll talk about it.
Seems like a very low bar, and I wonder why you're not charging that now.
Okay, so I don't think it's a low bar, Scott, but I will tell you this. I personally believe the evidence is trending towards that and probably meets those elements.
Do you anticipate sedition charges against some of these suspects?
I believe the facts do support those charges. And I think that as we go forward, more facts will support that, Scott.
And so, Glenn, sedition charges, given what I said in the intro and given what we know right now, do you think it's just a fait accompli? Those charges are coming.
Yeah, which doesn't mean Michael Sherwin, a federal prosecutor, had any business going on 60 Minutes and talking about future charges, a bedrock principle of being a federal prosecutor. Jonathan, I was one for 30 years, is we don't talk about pending cases or investigations. We certainly don't predict what charges might be brought in the future. Moving past Michael Sherwin's inappropriate conduct, you know, there are four ways that sedition charges can be brought. And, you know, yes, one is the violent overthrow of the government. One is levying war against the United States, but there are two other theories of liability in the seditious conspiracy law. And it's that people conspire to prevent or delay any law from being carried out. That's sedition. They certainly tried to prevent and delay the election results from being certified. And the fourth might actually be the most on point, Jonathan, given what we know happened at the Capitol on January 6th. The fourth is that if anybody takes, seizes, or possesses property of the United States by force and without authority, that also satisfies the elements of the crime of sedition. So I think that fourth sedition crime is really the easiest to prove based on what we know. And then finally, when people say, well, the federal government brought sedition charges 10 years ago unsuccessfully, so, you know, they might be shy about doing it again, that dog don't hunt. Because you know what? If I lost a murder case 10 years ago, but I have the evidence to support bringing murder charges today, the last thing I'm going to do is be shy about bringing that charge today because I lost a similar charge 10 years ago.
And, you know, Malcolm, one of the interesting things and troubling things about what happened on January 6th is the number of members of the military who were caught up in this. 1 in 8 charged in Capitol riot have military first responder ties. And then you have someone like Mike Rogers, a ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee, who seemed to be downplaying extremism in the military. Have a listen to what he said on Capitol Hill on Wednesday.
I also want to root out of the military those who actively participate in vile and violent hate groups. We cannot ask people to fight and die together under the shadow of racial hatred. But it's important to remember that extremist behavior is already prohibited by the Uniform Code of Military Justice and by each service's own regulations. It's also important to point out that we lack any concrete evidence that violent extremism is as rife in the military as some commentators claim.
Malcolm?
Well, that's very interesting. I recall a very well-decorated Gulf War veteran of the United States Army named Timothy James McVeigh. who served in the Army. He didn't seem to have any ties while he was in the Army. But later on, upon investigation, they found that not only was he actively, studying the neo-Nazi movement and the anti-government movement, his platoon sergeant, Terry Nichols, who also became his co-conspirator, helped him build, devise, deliver the largest car bomb in American history that killed 186 American citizens. So, you know, for him to say that there is no active, beliefs in the armed forces is ridiculous. There's racism in the military. There's sexism in the military. Misogyny. The point is, it's prohibited by the Uniform Code of Military Justice, but it's entirely up to your chain of command and your peers in the service to identify your behaviors while in service. But many of these people get out, they take their skill sets out, including some of the people we saw who were charged in the Capitol Hill attack, who were members of the Special Forces or Naval Special Warfare. Nothing says they're not going to act using their skills when they're gone from the service.
Malcolm, how concerned are you, given their participation in the January 6th insurrection, that the extremism within the military is something that the military won't be able to get a handle on?
The military will be able to get a handle on it and keep it under control with the standing orders as they exist now. The good order and discipline of the military is about how the chain of command handles individuals should these things pop up. The point is, you can keep quiet for 4 or 5 years without making your views well known, right? And then you get out of the service, and then you become a member of the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers.
Mm-hmm.
Quick point, Jonathan. That being said, and I want to touch on something that Glenn talked about. You know, the sedition and the conspiracy in the Capitol Hill between the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys was really their military discipline and their communications protocols to stand away from the speech and to be on Capitol Hill to carry out some sort of nefarious action. And that, I mean, if you read the indictments, their level of coordination was militarily off the charts. They were prepared to do something.
Glenn, yes or no answer. Was Michael Sherwin's comments to 60 Minutes, do they pose a danger to the forthcoming cases by the Justice Department? Yes or no?
The good news is not in the long run, because jury selection, which will not take place until, long in the future, the judge will go through with the jurors if they heard it. And if they did hear it, they set it aside and decide the case based only on the evidence at trial?
And with that, we're going to leave it there. Glenn Kirshner and Malcolm Nance, time just flies. Thank you so much for coming on the Sunday Show.